Lord Jesus, as we look at Romans 15, help us to understand, with the help of the Holy Spirit, that our Christian life consists of loving you, loving each other, and loving the world, as we've seen with Haiti and that DVD. And so help each one of us, and help me as I speak. Amen. And would you like to turn to back to Romans 15, page 160, further on from the Matthew passage. And we're going to, in the main, be looking at verses 22 to 29. But I want to start, and don't turn to it, with some words of Paul at the end of 1 Corinthians 16. I don't know about you, do you sometimes find you come up to people in the words in the Bible, say in your quiet time or other times, and you think, he can't say that. It's just too tough. Sometimes it's Jesus speaking, or otherwise it's Paul. And it's often Paul, because he's quite tough at times. And I was the other day I was reading, and I was reading at the end of Corinthians, chapter 16. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Let anyone be accursed who has no love for the Lord. Let anyone be accursed who has no love for the Lord. And it makes you think, isn't that a bit tough? Come on, Paul, soften up. You know, this passage helps in that respect very much. But let's come back a bit later to that. And let's think about the modern day. It was certainly a great relief to us as a family when we paid off our mortgage debt and knew that the place where we live is ours and ours alone. And many of us, particularly when we get to retirement like me, will have the same feeling that, thank goodness, I haven't got to pay that check to the building society or pay that standing order monthly again. And yet, that's just a day-by-day debt, isn't it? And yet some debts remain. For example, we can never pay off the debt of love to our husband or wife for loving us faithfully over the years, can we? We have to put up with each other, don't we? With all our warts and things like that. It's a love that goes on because of what they do for us. Now, just suppose as a husband, and I'm just taking this as a husband as an example, that so often happens these days that the husband falls for another woman. And he's unfaithful to his wife. And afterwards, and you can see the connection with the gospel, he is so sorry. He thinks, why on earth did I do that? And the amazing thing is that the wife forgives him, says, I forgive you. Of course, it takes time for the marriage to come together again, but the wife forgives him. How on earth can that husband pay that debt of love for her? Can it ever be fulfilled until the day that he dies. Then as Christians, and here again we think of the gospel, knowing deep down that we are sinners, I don't think there's any of us here who wouldn't think of one incident in their life which they regret. And they know that what they did was wrong. Paul knew it. He called himself the foremost of sinners, 1 Timothy 1:15. And yet, now we're beginning to understand a bit how Paul felt as he proclaimed the gospel. Are we not aware that we can never pay off the debt of love that we owe to our Lord Jesus Christ, who on the cross, in pain, and during the time he was mocked, in fact, the whole time of his ministry as he was criticized by the Pharisees and others, how could we ever pay off the debt of love that we owe to the Lord Jesus? We go on loving him because of what he did for us. And as I have grown in my Christian life, I've become more and more aware of what I personally owe to Jesus Christ. There's a song, isn't there? What love indeed is this? Absolutely right. But let's go to the passage and bear in mind as we look at it together our church theme, because I've intertwined this with what I'm going to say, growing in love for Christ, for each other, and for the world. It was his debt to Jesus who saved Paul on the Damascus Road that Paul, the great evangelist, spent his time repaying. This is why verse 22 in the passage, just above the passage actually, he had been hindered from coming to the Romans. His ambition, verse 20, was to proclaim the good news in all the places to which he journeyed or sent letters. Verse 21, those who have never been told of him shall see, and those who have never heard of him shall understand. Surely Paul is the best example of someone in his God-given ministry growing in love for Christ. Notice verses 23 to 25 that Paul is planning, just understand this, Paul is planning to sail from Corinth to Jerusalem, taking the collection he is organizing, then from Jerusalem to Rome, and then by ship overland to Spain. I'm not saying that he went to all these places because he didn't get to Spain. As John Stott points out in his commentary, if all these journeys were made, the first would be approximately, obviously, 800 miles, the second 1,500 miles, and the third 700 miles, an extraordinary proposal for those days of difficulty and danger when travelling. But this was the extent to which Paul was prepared to go in order to fulfill his debt of love to Christ for what he had done for Paul on the cross. Until the day he died, Paul intends to proclaim the gospel which rescued him on the Damascus Road. Now, in a sense, all passages that we read must have application to our own lives. And so what about us here this evening? In a sense, this passage is a transitional section, but nevertheless, the Holy Spirit can teach us through it. There is a challenge contained in these verses for all of us. We proclaim the gospel when we can. Do we? I wonder if we do. As to come away from this for a moment, Caroline and I last night spent, it was quite a long time actually, we spent 4 hours watching Shakespeare's Hamlet on the television. And again, words came up in the in the play, which have come part of our language, which is extraordinary. And particularly, these words came up. Conscious makes cowards of us all. And I was thinking to myself, in relation to the proclaiming of the gospel, that if we just adapted Shakespeare a little, and why not, good manners can make cowards of us all. And I thought to myself, yes, so often when we get to proclaiming the gospel, we sort of think, no, we can't go over the top with these people. They might cut us out, or they might think we're a little bit over the top ourselves. But do we sometimes miss opportunities to speak and witness to the Lord Jesus? Well, we know that Paul never did. He was amazing in the way he used every opportunity in his life to proclaim Christ, because in that he was repaying the debt of love due to Jesus. To what extent are we in our own lives repaying the debt we owe to the Lord, who brought us to faith, forgiving our sins, bringing us from darkness to light? Are we growing in love for Christ by coming to worship, prayer groups, etc., etc.? Well, it's not for me to say what you're not doing. And indeed, as Andrew said in his notices today, we've been very encouraged by people coming to First Priority. But I am encouraged by the way so many of us in the church family not only proclaim the gospel, but also take those opportunities for worship prayer meetings. And again, as Andrew said in his notices, in the recent cold spell, so many people came to church despite the long walk through the snow. And in doing that, they were repaying that debt of love to the Lord Jesus. And for all of us here tonight, as we go home, think about these verses and the extent to which we are personally repaying the debt of love due to the Lord Jesus for what he has done for us. But what about our love for each other and the world? Looking now at Paul's Gentile converts, he writes to the Romans explaining how the Christians, verse 26, in Macedonia and Achaia, have been pleased to share their resources with the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. You see, the gospel message emanated from the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. It is as if the light of Christ shone out at Jerusalem into the darkness of the Gentile world. For example, to Macedonia, northern Greece, and Achaia, southern Greece. This light of Christ was now lifting the darkness of Rome through Paul's letter to the Romans. They needed to know how other converts had reacted to the gift of Christ and the pain that Jesus suffered for them on the cross, bringing them forgiveness. Gentile Christians owed a debt not just to Jesus, but the saints in Jerusalem from which the gospel message came. In these verses, Paul reminds us of words in Romans 12. So we, that is all Christians, wherever located, whether in Haiti or anywhere else, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. Paul's argument is that we have shared in the spiritual blessings of others previously converted, and therefore we are in debt to them as well. Thus, we should be of service to them. In the case then, the Jerusalem Christians, in material things. Paul concludes his passage confirming that once he has dealt with the collection in Jerusalem, he will start out for Rome and then Spain, and he will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. At this time, Paul had no idea of the trouble he would encounter in Jerusalem, his arrest, and then his voyage to Rome, not of free will, but as a prisoner. Now, as to us today, again, do we have a debt to pay in addition to that we discharge as we grow in love for Christ? Is there more in the way of love we should give? I think very much so. We have a debt, not just money, to discharge to each other and the world. And are we growing in love for each other? If someone within the church family is in trouble, if on a Sunday morning we come in and we see somebody looking really down, our initial reaction might be, I don't think I can take their troubles on my shoulders this morning. I had that situation this morning and I felt, should I go and speak to those people? And I did. And they had terrible troubles. And then we prayed together. And so often one loves, as it were, when it's not easy. If someone within the church trouble is in trouble, then it's us that should help. It seems to me that Paul's argument covers our attitude to one another Sunday by Sunday. We need to be ready to help out by encouraging our brothers and sisters, visiting and praying with them when ill. In fact, being so aware of us being members one of another that we treat them like one of our own close family. I'll repeat them. We treat them like one of our own close family. And that is completely different from just coming into church week by week by rote. I would particularly stress that we should have a deep love for one another at All Saints and St. Richard's, because in many cases this church has acted like the Jerusalem church in bringing to us, previously in darkness, the light of Christ. So many people in our congregation are converted because of what has happened in this church. Personally, my family and I'm talking not just about Caroline and I, I'm talking about my children who have gone off into ministry. All of us owe a debt of love to you all for caring for us over many years. So that let's say that we agree that due to these debts, we grow in love for Jesus and we grow in love for each other. I would remind us that in relation to this debt to the world, we are called to love other Christians in this nation and other Christians worldwide. Well, that's obvious from what we've heard from Wim. This passage stretches to this. Jerusalem was miles away from Rome, was miles away from Corinth. Yet today, Africa is miles away. Haiti is miles away. But it makes no difference. We are members one of each other. And we care. And coming closer to home, I hear sometimes discussions about the quota we pay to the diocese. Why is this so high? The answer is that we should be paying the quota. In making the payment, we are of service to other Christians, other churches, in material things. Material things like the payment of salaries and pensions and everything else within the Church of England. And additionally, we keep the World Church on our radar as we've done with Haiti. Many of us I know privately support Tear Fund, World in Need, Christian Aid, and that this is absolutely right. In doing so, we are discharging our debt of love to those Christians less well off than we are. As to the church family, we are therefore right to support mission partners all around the world. We are no less members of them, that we are members one of another sitting in the church this evening. So remember, growing in love for Christ, for one another, and for the world. And as we return home this evening, think on Jesus Christ. Think on what he's done for you. Don't just think about Jesus Christ, and he is in the book. Think about him as a person. how he's changed your life, how he's brought things alive, how he's made everything possible. And I say this even when people get ill. The amount of people who have said to me, John, I know I'm ill, I'm in hospital, but I don't know what I'd do without Jesus Christ. Think about what he has accomplished for you already, and be ready for what he is going to accomplish for you in the time ahead. Think what we owe him. If we're nervous, remind ourselves always, even if we think we're no good at it, that his grace is sufficient for us to discharge his ministry in us. Never forget that we at All Saints and St. Richard's are a fellowship. As I've said before, a family, a close family. So minister to each other's needs with joy and expectation. As for other Christians, never forget that we are all members together of one body of Christ. Locally, therefore, and this is important, support churches together. Support churches in the deanery. Support the Sussex Gospel Partnership. Be ready to help other churches if the occasion arises. Remember in your giving and prayers our mission partners worldwide. Be a man or a woman who is so bound up with Jesus Christ, so, yes, I said, in love with him, that whether you're there for somebody physically, or you're there in a letter, or you're there in an email, the person on the other end knows that you come in the fullness of the blessing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.